Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm Ben Hunter. I'm here with our Queen of Books, Sarah McDewling.
Queen of Books?
I just got promoted. And we are sitting across from one of our favourite Australian authors, Jane Harper.
Welcome. Probably more deserving of the title Queen of Books.
Yeah. You're just doing so well. It's such an honour to have you sitting in the chat.
Thank you so much for having me in.
And you've got this new book, The Lost Man, which is... just blown us away. It's we're drooling over it, and we can't wait for people to be reading it.
Thank you.
It's super.
I really enjoyed writing this one. I'm so pleased to hear that because I loved writing this one. I had so much fun like writing and researching it because it's set in outback Queensland, as you guys know. And so I did a lot of research for this book before I even started writing the manuscript. And I really became so fascinated with the place and the characters. Sort of just grew so much in my mind. So I'm really excited to have this one out.
Was it a different writing experience from your previous two books?
I think it was a bit in that I suppose, like, I guess over the course of three books, your writing practice sort of changes a bit and evolves, and I've sort of worked out ways that work for me, you know, to kind of get the ideas flowing and editing process and all kinds of things that just make it a little bit easier than maybe the first two when you're still trying to find your style a little bit and work out, you know, how to actually execute it.
Yeah.
So this time I felt really able to just focus on the story itself and like building it up so that hopefully it would kind of become on the page what I had in my mind. And and it was just a really enjoyable process. Like I honestly loved every minute of it. And even when I was working on it, I was still thinking about it. And, you know, I really wanted to get to the end because I really wanted to kind of see how it was all going to kind of play out.
That's such a good sign.
So you don't fully know what the ending will be while you're writing?
No, I did actually know. I did know how it was going to end. But just sometimes when, I guess as you're writing things, like sort of new ideas come to you or sort of characters, I guess you get, you know, I sort of find like I sort of learned about the characters a lot more by the end, and I knew them much better at the end than I did at the start. So it was more, I did absolutely know exactly where it was going to go. And I always do. I think this is so much easier for me. But it was more, I wanted to see it play out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So we've sort of skipped over the bit we normally do at the podcast where we sort of tell the listeners a little bit about the book. Would you mind just, for anyone who hasn't read the blurb yet, like, what are you doing? You should have read it yet, but if you haven't, what is your book about?
Yeah, sure. So so The Lost Man is an Australian mystery, and it's set in outback Queensland on one of these really remote, far-flung cattle stations. And it centres around the death of one of three brothers and this family's search for answers around that.
Yes, that's a perfect summation. And what I love about this is it's so insular, like that's it. You are on this cattle station and you don't leave for the entire action.
It's really close.
You don't want to put this book down. It hooks in like nothing. And you refer to the development of style. I mean, your style, your Jane Harperness is just through the roof here. We were just gushing over
the opening.
Yeah, the opening itself is a work of art. It pulls you in for the entire novel. And your affectations about life on the land and what that landscape is and what it does to people is just phenomenal.
We've got the danger of this podcast is that it's just going to be me and Ben going, plus we really liked this and we really liked that and all of the things in it that we liked. So
you've also done something...
You have to remember to ask questions.
Yeah, you're right. You've also done something really brave with this and interesting is for the dry and for force of nature, you were developing this character, Aaron Falk, and The Lost Man doesn't feature this character. Is he going to come back or...
Was it hard to set him aside or was it what you wanted to do at that point?
Yeah, so Aaron Falk, as you said, he's in my first two books. He's the main character in both of those. And in The Lost Man, it's essentially standalone. So he's not in it, as you said. And I love writing about Falk. Like, I've loved writing about him in The Dry and Force of Nature. And I love the character. And, you know, I really... yeah, also the way the readers have responded to him has been so sort of beautiful to see. And so, yeah, I absolutely would love to return to him. Like, I intend to return to him at some point for sure. But I think with this book, I think you always sort of want to tell it in the best way possible, you know, and have the best characters to tell the story.
Yeah.
And for this one, I mean, I felt quite strongly, and I'm sure I do feel readers will agree when they read it, that he just wasn't the best character to tell the story. There were characters that would, you know, tell the story so much more authentically. Mm. And I actually really love being able to kind of develop those new characters, because it is sort of, yeah, essentially one family, an extended family, really, at the heart of this book. And they've all kind of had very shared experiences, but at the same time reacted in different ways to things, and all got their own sort of unique personalities. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed him. Nathan Bright, who's the main character, I really loved writing about him and kind of exploring his sort of journey throughout the book. So it was a lot of fun.
I loved him too. The characters are, they really grab you. And you wrote this, like, I don't know exactly how long it took you to write it, but, I mean, you had a book out the year before. So, like, it can only have been within a year. How do you do that?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, this one I did, I think because I did enjoy writing it so much, I actually, I wrote it quite quickly, I think, because I was just really into it. but what I did, and we were talking earlier about the writing style technique and how it sort of develops, and what I learned, particularly from the first two books, was I do find it so much easier when I have a really coherent plan. So I actually, before I wrote any of it, I kind of came up with an initial plan, and then I did a lot of research. So I spent about 4 months researching, and actually I went up to Outback Queensland and spent some time up there and went out to visit some stations and spoke to the guy who was the cop out there for 10 years on his own in this area the size of Victoria, and sort of, you know, got some of his stories, and he told me all these sort of interesting things. And so I did a lot of research, and then I did a really extensive chapter by chapter plan, so I knew exactly kind of where I wanted it to go. Yeah. And kind of only then did I really start writing it. And I think because I had I'd done a lot of the groundwork, then actually writing it, I found flowed, you know, flowed much easier than it, you know, it would have if I hadn't had that plan in place.
And you stayed on that plan through the writing?
Well, yeah, I did actually. Interestingly, I did for the first. So I did for the first draft, and I did it according to plan, and it was pretty close. And then it was only really, as I think often happens, once I had that security of the first draft done, and I could sort of take a step back and look at it, then suddenly I had like other ideas. And I actually ended up breaking into it quite a lot and like adding things in, but I think it was I think that was a really necessary and productive part of the process. You know, I didn't resent the fact that I spent so long planning it only to break into it, because I think if I hadn't had that plan, I wouldn't have maybe been able to make those yeah. leaps. So yeah, it was all just part of the process, I think.
Well, I mean, you just seem to have been born to do this. not to throw praise around like confetti, but I am going to. But I read that sort of before the dry, you took a course on how to write a book and then sort of wrote a book. Is it something you'd thought about for a long time, or was it, did it happen that easily?
Like, no,
easily,
yeah.
Is the wrong word.
No, I know what you mean, but no, it didn't. It was it wasn't quite as sort of, yes, straightforward as that, in that what really happened was I was always a big reader, and I always wanted to write a book. Ever since I was a little kid, I always thought I'd love to write a book one day, you know, but I was working as a journalist, so I was writing professionally full time anyway. And I just never really made time to write fiction. I think I honestly doubted myself, I think, quite a lot in terms of the effort and the, you know, the emotional kind of energy you have to put into it for such an uncertain outcome.
Yeah.
I just couldn't really I think I just couldn't really find it in myself to do it. And then years were passing, and I still hadn't like even attempted to write a book, let alone written one. And finally I just sort of realized that if I was going to do it, I had to make time within my day-to-day life. And so I just sort of set myself a goal that I was going to try and do it. You know, I was going to sort of spend 6 months and just really try and dedicate myself to it. And I think the thing that really, like a few things really helped a lot. One was that, you know, I had that journalism background, so I was really used to sitting down at the computer and turning out words and focusing on, you know, a particular aspect of a story and how best to tell that. So that really helped. And I think also the fact that I'd sort of had, I'd had this kind of ambition brewing for such a long time, and I just realised that nothing was ever going to change. I wasn't suddenly going to have a huge amount of time where I'd be able to focus on it with no other distractions. I was just actually going to have to try and make time for it. And and then once I started doing it, you know, I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed the process. So then that kind of motivated me to try and at least finish the manuscript and then see what happened after that.
And now 3 books later here.
Yeah.
Wow. I keep asking questions, Ben.
We talked a little bit about this off air. I'm really curious about that transition from a professional life to being a full-time author. And is that a mounting pressure for you, or is that something that's giving you a lot of freedom? I mean, you mentioned that you've had this brilliant opportunity to do in-person research for this in depth. But how does your writing life look now in comparison to how it looked when you were working on the draft?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's changed a lot. It's a really good question because it has changed completely. I mean, when I was working on the dry, like, I was a full-time journalist, so, you know, I had to write the book around that. And as I mentioned, I was already kind of sitting at the computer for 8 hours a day.
Yes.
And so it was actually... Yeah, one of the biggest sort of challenges was just be able to find that kind of extra push to just do like an hour of fiction writing when I got home. Or I actually used to do an hour in the morning. I used to sort of set my alarm like literally 1 hour earlier, do an hour and then go to work. And then I'd sort of play like little mental tricks with myself. Like I'd come home and I would stay in my work clothes, sit down and just almost kind of seamlessly from work go into kind of book writing mode and just do 1 hour. And then I let myself stop and just go watch TV or whatever, you know. But having sort of that helped me sort of develop that consistent habit, which I think is really crucial for anybody who's trying to write their debut to sort of get that kind of consistency. Because it's so easy, so easy for it to sort of fall off the rails and to get discouraged. But if you can find that little bit of consistency, you do see your project kind of building up and you see the words mounting and you get to a point where you get halfway through and you think, well, I may as well push to the end now because I've done all this work. And and then now I'm really fortunate in that I get to be a full-time author, which is really amazing. I mean, it's, you know, a dream to have that job. And but I do find that what works really well for me is actually mimicking that office environment quite closely. So I leave the house, I go to an office space, which is just a little office I have, which is very boring, just has a desk and a computer pretty much, and that's it. And, and I sort of work for, like, kind of a set number of hours, and I set myself sort of short-term, like, almost daily goals, and then longer, sort of medium, longer-term goals as well, and I have quite a schedule in mind as well, where I'd like to be at, you know, certain dates on the calendar. Hmm. And I just sort of don't worry too much about the big picture. I try and focus a lot on the little things, like the things you can control, like just sort of sticking to that plan and you're making sure you sort of progress each day and do a little bit more and a little bit more and trusting that as long as you do that, it will add up.
Mm. Yeah, and that gives you that confidence.
Yeah.
What's it like now that you're published into all these different territories? You've done quite successfully in the States and I believe the UK as well.
Yeah.
And now you must be going into different languages and all kinds of wacky covers
and getting awards in all the different countries.
Yeah. That's right.
Do you have international editors on the phone to you? Are they is that influencing your work in a way? I'm just imagining there's a bit of, I just think perhaps an American reader would see something a bit exotic in the Australianness of these novels. And are they trying to milk you for that? Or?
Yeah, no, I see. I haven't really. The publishers I work with, the English language publishers, are great in that they really give me like a lot of freedom to just sort of explore the book in the best way that's possible. Like I don't get any pressure from either the US or the UK at all to sort of drive in a certain direction or to kind of particularly even market it for, you know, their particular territory
and international
readers.
Audience.
So what I really tend to do, and again, coming back to that sort of not letting yourself get too distracted or overwhelmed, is I just write the book as though it was just being read by an Australian audience, really firstly, and just try and get that kind of real authenticity and get the dialogue right and sort of tap into those things that we would recognise as Australians. Mm. And then it does go to the US and UK as well, who have always been fantastic and just never really asked me to adjust anything particularly for their market. The biggest change is really just the odd sort of word here and there where the overseas or English language readers won't understand like a piece of slang or or like for say like huntsman. You can say huntsman here, but over there it's like huntsman spider, just to sort of make it clear what we're talking about. Just little things like that. But no, they've really responded really well to the like Australian flavour, I think.
Good. They should.
And with with film rights being snapped up and stuff, does that make you, how does it feel? Is it a nerve-wracking thing or just exciting to think that you're going to see your book adapted that way?
Yeah, it's really exciting. And, I mean, I'm lucky they've got such a great team behind it. So The Dry's been optioned by Bruna Papandrea and Reese Witherspoon's production company, who are the ones behind Big Little Lies, that I'm sure a lot of us have seen and enjoyed. So they come with, a really great track record, obviously. And I feel really lucky to have that kind of caliber of people working on, the adaptation.
And what's your involvement? Like, are you, do you just go?
Off you go.
Like, thanks for the money, or are you involved in the writer's room or?
No, I mean, it is a separate project. So, I mean, not my focus is, always primarily on the books, and it's obviously a very different medium, and they're the experts in that field. So, so I'm happy enough just to let them do the best that they can do with it and have the freedom to do that. Having said that, they are really good at keeping in touch and letting me know, sort of key developments and what their sort of areas of thinking are. So, I'm just really, I guess, excited as everybody else just to see what comes of it. I'd love to see it on the screen. So
I'm super excited as a fan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm thrilled that it's just going to introduce more and more people to your work and to this book, which is just incredible.
Are we allowed to ask about what you're writing at the moment?
You definitely ask. It is a little bit, I'm probably on the scene side. So I've been contracted for more books, so there'll definitely be more books to come. And there will be, Australian mystery. So the next one will definitely be an Australian mystery. In terms of what it looks like, I'm still working out like a few ideas because I think, coming back to what I was saying earlier about the planning, I've realised that actually if I kind of really sort of have a really good hard think about exactly what I want it to look like and what it will be, and then it's a lot easier later on. So I haven't actually really made any firm decisions about exactly what that's going to look like. But as soon as The Lost Man, is out and, I've sort of completed all the kind of the tour and meeting the readers around that, then I'll get started on that one straight away.
So it's brewing.
It's brewing, yeah. And I've got a few ideas sort of ticking over. It's just kind of deciding what would be the best one to pursue,
it's
really.
It's going to bubble up to the top.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out.
Yes. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you here. As we said at the outset, it's just been awesome. As we were saying, we're thrilled that people are going to be reading this book because I think it just takes your work to a whole new level in terms of the psychological, how dark these characters are. it's phenomenal. It's Australian crime writing at its best.
Thank you. It's so lovely. Thank you so much. I'm so pleased you enjoyed it. I loved writing this book, so it really is gratifying. People enjoy reading it.
I think you can really sense that when you read it.
Oh, good.
And you can buy Jane Harper's new novel, The Lost Man, at booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.